Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
So Acts, we're going to be in Acts 16. We're going to read it first. We're going to talk about it together. So as we read it, I want you to be thinking, what are some interesting things in here that I'm kind of curious about and would love to know what in the world he's talking about? Or some thoughts that you may have. And then lastly, we'll come back up after a song and talk a bit about application and what we do with what we've read, okay? So Acts 16. We're going to start with, well, just read the whole thing, all 40 verses. So Acts 16, 1. And if you join us online, feel free to chat it in. And I will tell you just off the bat, I realized right before I came up here and I couldn't do anything about it. Those of you guys joining us online, I realize the Nicene Creed is not under the notes section today. Always is. Today it's not. I will fix it next week. So if you want to look it up, if you want to Google it, you can find it pretty quickly. All right, Acts 16, verse 1. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, and there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders of Jerusalem for people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in number. They went through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. The next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in the city for several days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city by the gate. We went out of the city gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women gathered there, a God-fearing woman listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit. So this is the start of our kind of focus today. So be thinking through what in the world. Once, as we were on our way to prayer, the slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. And as she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. They are servants of the Most High." She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed, and turning to the Spirit, he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out right away. And when her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adapt or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's chains came loose. And when the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. And when daylight came, the chief magistrate sent to the police to say, "Release those men." The jailer reported these words to Paul. "The magistrate has sent order for you to be released. So come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They beat us in public without a trial, although we are Roman citizens, and they threw us in jail. And now they're going to send us away secretly? Certainly not. On the contrary, let them come themselves and escort us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. They came to appease them, and escorting them from the prison, they urged them to leave town. And after leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house, where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters, and they departed. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the boldness of Paul and those moments. God, thank you for the salvation that we see in this text of Lydia and also the jailer and their households. God, we pray for that, for our town and for our community. There would be people who would find you, and it would be them and their household who come to believe. We love you, God, in your name. Amen. So, I have some thoughts. We talked about it Tuesday in our men's Bible study as well, so I have those thoughts recorded. What are yours? Are there any? And Jude, wave at me if we see any on the chats, okay, bud? Anybody here have any observation? Anything that, yes, Miss Barbara. Okay. Yeah, Paul's a little punchy in this text, right? So Miss Barbara said it strikes her that Paul loses his temper or gets annoyed at this girl, and that's when he sends the spirit out of her. We'll talk about that. Anything else? Right. They get beaten and thrown in prison. I have a thought about that that actually Tom shared with me last week that I never really thought in that way. That would be interesting. But anybody else? Well, there's lots of prayer. They're going to that place of prayer. So Angie pointed out that she thought it was interesting. They're going to the place of prayer when they encountered the slave girl who had this spirit of prophecy. That place of prayer for them was basically the equivalent of their place of worship each day. Remember, that's where Paul and Silas met Lydia. They were going there, and they had this.
I guess I've been kind of surprised to realize how much the Roman Empire, every culture around here, was just so immersed in idolatry. Yep. And I mean, you weren't a Jew and you didn't have the Old Testament. You had God's galore. And that is just common in all cultures. So it was quite the challenge to go in there with the gospel.
Right. So Sue brought up the fact that it was the one of the things is just the nature of the time in which they are. There's lots of idolatry. And so that is what Paul knew. It may also be one of the reasons why Paul and Barnabas had such a sharp disagreement about John Mark, because he knew like what they were walking into, this very oppressive, idolatrous place that wouldn't look kindly on what they were doing, and they needed someone who was going to be. That could be it. Who knows? But there certainly was lots of idolatry in this time, And that's Paul and these the folks with him kind of knew that, and they would have understood that. In fact, we're going to get to that pretty quickly. That may have been part of Paul's annoyance with the little girl. Anything else? All right. Well, let's talk about that little girl. Jude, would you do me a favor, bud? Could you grab me a water? So it starts out this text saying they were on their way to this place of prayer in verse 16. And one says, we were on our way to prayer. We met a slave girl. So this girl was not free, right? She had owners, people who profited from what she was doing. What she was doing, she said she had a spirit. Thank you, bud. She had a spirit of fortune telling. And made a great deal of profit for these guys by fortune telling. And as she encounters Paul, she's yelling out. These guys are talking about the way of salvation. They're slaves of the Most High God, presenting the way of salvation, is essentially what she said. Having said that, how would a Roman hearer hear those words? Who is the Most High God? The Romans. It wasn't Yahweh. It wasn't Yahweh. It wasn't the Lord that the Jewish people worship, right? It was Zeus or whoever maybe the leading god of that town was. You know, like later we see a scenario where Artemis is the god of the Ephesians, right? And so for it had been happening at Ephesus, it could have been Artemis. It could have been any other god, but it certainly wouldn't have been Yahweh. And she's proclaiming that, and these people are hearing that, right? The way of salvation would likely not have landed for these Roman people like it does for us 21st century Christians. Because they certainly were presenting the way of salvation that comes through the Most High God, but the Roman person would have heard their teaching. These men are the men who are bringing prosperity and wealth from the highest God that we can conceive of, which would be whoever it would have been. Because they're not in Jewish or Christian monotheism, right? This is very much pantheistic culture or even a multitheistic culture. It would mean either Zeus or whatever the top god would have been. And that salvation would have just not have been like this overcoming corruption and this new creation like we would thought. It would have been health, prosperity, wealth. Whatever they were thinking would be the thing that would help and save their lives from whatever they were in. So that's important to remember who she's yelling this out, where she's yelling this out in the middle of, and who is supposed to be speaking to. And Paul just gets annoyed, which is, I think, good for us to see. All right, so it's been 7 days since last Sunday. In those 7 days, how many of you guys got annoyed once? I got 3 kids at my house. I got annoyed once before I left this building last Sunday. So it's beautiful to see that you can get annoyed. And you got some scriptures that you can lean into. Paul gets annoyed at this girl, and he turns around, and he speaks to her. He doesn't speak to her, actually, right? He speaks to the spirit that's in her in the name of Jesus. And he just says, come out of her. And the Bible tells us that immediately it left. One of the things that stood out to me was the power of the name of Jesus, right? It says immediately they left. Later in Acts, we're going to see a story about some people who try to do the same thing. And so we realize that the word of Jesus, or the name of Jesus, is not a magic, it's not abracadabra. Okay? Later on, we're going to see about the sons of some Jewish priests who try to evoke the name of Jesus. And what does the demon do? If you know the story, the 7 sons of Sceva, right? The guy with the demon turns to him and says, I know Paul. I know Peter. I don't know you. And he turns on him. Text tells us he beats them up and they run out of the house naked. So it's not an abracadabra. But for those who are living according to what God has called them to, who are living in the power and the work of Jesus, there is power in that. Paul just turns and speaks words, and it instantly it happens according to the text that we read. And then what happens immediately after that? Her owners, what? They get ticked. They realize, and why do they get ticked? Not because this little girl is delivered from the from this demon that was happening, but they he got her finances. And that was the reason they got ticked. But it was even a little bit more than that, because what does Paul know? When he's crossing over into Europe for the first time, there's all this idolatry and there's all this, and he would have certainly have known that. I don't think it was a shock to him when he got there. But he knew that he was going religiously into a place where the religion was going to be against him. So here he is speaking truth, but as far as they were concerned, this is a different religion. And now he's messed with their money. And they take him before the magistrates, and he gets wrapped up in the politics. And you got this religion and this money and this politics, and man, that just creates, how many of you know that creates a nasty environment, right? We've been witnesses of that here as well in our country. And for that, Paul and Silas get it, right? They get flogged, they get beaten, and they get thrown in jail. Because the first thing that happens is they come in proclaiming a new religion into this town. And one of the first things that we see happen in that is someone accepts it, Lydia. And her whole household were saved. And as we're moving along, we see the story of this little girl, and now they're seeing power that comes from it. We don't really see, right, when Paul first engages with Lydia, we don't see that he does much more than talk to her. And she believes it. It says the Lord opened up her heart to respond. Which that's comforting in and of itself, right? All we got to do is be obedient to God. It's God's job to open up the hearts for them to respond, which is a beautiful thing. We don't have to do anything more than be obedient. God opened up her heart. She responded. Her whole household was saved. But we don't see, like, this is not a story like Peter and John walking into the temple and the guy's healed and he jumps up and he's walking and it says he's leaping and he's worshiping God. He goes in the temple and this powerful kind of thing draws people. As far as we can tell, when Paul gets there, he just goes to the river where this place of prayer is and just talks and shares and tells them the good news. And God had opened up some people's hearts and they believe, but now they're seeing the power that comes from it. Because Paul just turns and speaks and this demon comes out of the girl. And here's the thing, they realize it, right? It's not like somebody's saying, oh, that wasn't real, he's faking it. No, they knew. That was why they were mad. Like they could tell right away, and they knew their prophet was gone. And so now they're seeing the power of God for the first time. It's not the last time, and even in this story. So just kind of log that back there, right? And so as a result, what happens in a mob mentality, right? A couple people start yelling and saying things. Next thing you know, everybody just believes that the person who started all this is right and true. There's no judge. There's no record. They just kind of mob them. They beat them. They throw them in prison. Here is a thing that Tom brought up last week that I never thought of in this story, is that Paul took the beating. It's interesting. Maybe God told him to take the beating. And you'd be like, well, did he have a choice? Yeah. Because we're going to find out later in Acts. They try to do the same thing to Paul. What does Paul do? Do you remember? Yeah. He says, I'm a Roman citizen. Are you allowed to beat me? He says, they stretch him out to scourge him. And he looks at the guy who's about to do it and says, are you allowed to do this to a Roman citizen? And he stops immediately. And we know that that was true in this story too, because when they found out, they were scared, right? Because Paul does tell them this at the end, after the fact. Could he have done it at the beginning? Absolutely. But he took the beating, which I thought was interesting. I never had connected that dot And so he's flogged and beat, and he's in prison. I've never been to prison. I guess y'all are glad to hear that, right? I don't ever want to go. I have friends who have been. Doesn't sound fun. I talked to my friends on Sunday nights. All of them have been in jail at least, not prison, but have all of them been in jail at least a couple of times. And even though they're used to it, I don't think it's a place I want to go. In fact, I know it's not a place I want to go. And so here Paul and Silas find themselves in this place. And what is their response, right? Angie, you said it. What's their response? They're praying and they're worshiping God. And this is where we find Paul and Silas in prison, praying and worshiping God. Was it silent? No, we get the sense, in fact, from the text, we find out that they could hear them. They may have been praying for God to get them out of this thing, right? I mean, we don't know. Didn't tell us what they were praying for, but that would certainly make sense. If I was in jail, I'm just telling you, I'd be praying that God would find a way to get me out of jail. Especially if I was in jail for something that was not my fault. And they're worshiping God. And in the midst of this, we see the power of God once again. This earthquake happens. In fact, Sunday, as we were talking about, like, what kind of magnitude earthquake would have to happen for shackles to fall off people's hands? Maybe that was miraculous. I mean, it all was miraculous. Not a maybe, but maybe they just supernaturally fell off and it wasn't because of the shaking. All we know is the text says that all the doors were opened, shackles were off, they could have gotten away. Here was an interesting conversation that happened on Thursday night. Why didn't the other people run? Did that cross anybody's mind as we were reading this text? Why didn't the other people run? I mean, we kind of get the sense why Paul and Silas didn't. Paul speaks out and feels like he's got a reason to be there and he's got a message to tell. And he yells out, "Hey, we're all here. Don't kill yourself." Why didn't the other ones run out? Maybe they wanted to know the same answer to the story that the jailer did, right? I think that's a very plausible explanation. You hear two guys in here praying to a God you don't know anything about to get out, potentially. But if nothing else, you hear them praying, like, and you're free as a bird if you want to be. I mean, the jailer certainly was interested because we get his story. He walks right in and says, or runs in, "Tell me what I must do to be saved." Instantly. That had to come from what he was hearing as they praised and they worshiped God. Did you ever get any chat back there? All right. So that's what we know happened. That's our observation, right? Anything else that you observed in that before we're going to sing a song and we'll come back and talk about some application? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we don't get that. Yeah, so Natalie was saying that one of the things that she was thinking that Romans was how maybe Paul kept that silent to himself for the sake of that Roman soldier to hear that, have the opportunity to hear this message. And she also said, "I'd love to know what those other people were thinking, why they didn't run." There's lots of those backstories that, you know. What does it say in the Gospel of John? The world would be full of volumes of books. The world couldn't even contain it. We wrote down everything that happened. But some of those things we wish were contained somewhere. We'll find out one day. Anything else? One thing I want to bring to your attention as we're going to sing another song. So come on up, Angie and Heather. We're going to go ahead and... we're going to pray, and after we pray, we're going to sing this song. But one thing that I was thinking was that the interesting thing is, or think about this, is what the slave girls' owners were, what their issue was, what they weren't willing to deal with, and then look at that in comparison with the jailer. Okay, we're going to talk a bit about that as we come to application. So join me as we pray. God, we're thankful that you've given us this story, for the observations that we've gotten from it, God. I pray as we sing this song and this communion set before us and we have an opportunity to respond either now or later, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. What through this observation of this story, what is that speaking to us? What do we do with it? God, would you, through your Spirit, give us wisdom? In your name, amen. All right. Man. So, anybody, you guys can grab a seat. Anybody have anything that they, as we read this story, that you want to take away and say, this is what God's speaking to me for application? Yeah, so one thing Sue said is, you know, part of the application is we have it so much easier. It should not be a deterrent, and it actually should be an encouragement to go out and do what Jesus told us to do, right? Because we go with the same power that Paul had without the suffering that came with it, or comes with it. Remember we read about a story about our friend Omar last week over in country to the east of India. His name just flies out of my brain. I don't remember. No, it was Bangladesh. Thank you. So there are family members. There are brothers and sisters around the world who do still got that same power, but they do have to deal with that. We don't. What's holding us back? That's a great question. One of the observations for application that came out on Thursday night, as we talked about it, was if we think about the slave girl, and most specifically the slave girl's owners, and then you think about the jailer, both of them were confronted with the exact same thing, the power of God, right? They saw it in action. And both of their responses were vastly different. Because the jailer's response, so as we talk about application, this can be it. Like the jailer's response was what? What do I have to do? Because this is obviously, as we just sang, the way, right? This is truth. This is life. What do I have to do to get it? He could have been mad and said, my career is ruined because of this, which was the reason he was ready to fall on his own sword, right? He thought it was over. Could have said, my career is ruined. What have you done to me? Which is the response of the slave girl's owners. And so it seems, there may be more than two, but it seems that there's at least two responses to the gospel. And when we see it and we understand it, people can engage and say, hey, what are you doing? You've ruined all my opportunity. And the jailer looks at it and says, I have no opportunity without this. Like all the rest of it is rubbish, right? Like Paul wrote later on, he's like, Paul wrote to the Philippians, this is rubbish. This is a pile of garbage. Actually, he didn't say it that nice. The jailer's feeling that, like, what I've been accomplishing, what I've been fighting for, that's nothing. Like, this is what I want. This is what I need. Slave girl's owners could have had the same response. They didn't, because they were worried about their power. They were worried about their money. And a lot of times that can stand in our way and stand in others' way of really engaging with God. So that's another one. There was a difference in the position of those. Any other application? Well, I'll tell you one more, and I said it at the beginning. I think the thing for those of us who know, trust, believe, pray for, and seek the power of God to move, that the name of Jesus is powerful.
Amen.
And as we move through life, that is important to remember. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to accept it, right? That name was powerful when it was used with the slave girls, and it wasn't accepted. That name was also powerful when it was used in the jail, and it was. So it doesn't have anything to do with acceptance. It has to do with the power. And we have a powerful God. In fact, all powerful. Bigger than everything. We don't have to stress about balloons flying over the U.S. Right? We don't have to stress about weather cold. We don't have to stress about heat. We don't have to stress about money. We don't have to stress about anything, because what we've seen in these stories is God is bigger than all that. We see it through the whole, all of Scripture. But what we do see here is, in the name of Jesus, things change like that. Can change. Well, do change, but not everyone accepts it. Don't be afraid. May I not be afraid, and may you not be afraid to lean on the name of Jesus, especially as we are confronted with all that life throws at us. Because we also are walking in a world, regardless of what we like to think, we're also walking in a country and in a world that generally is unfriendly to Jesus. And we don't have to be afraid to invoke His name. There is power in that name. And in it, we find all that we need, as the jailer finds out in this story. Judy, got any chat? Any other comments? All right. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to say the words of the Nicene Creed together. Just a rough sketch of, here's some general things that we believe. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to hear that benediction from Jude that Jude acknowledges that Jesus, because of Jesus, we stand in front of God blameless. And then we're going to go out into the world that doesn't believe with the power of a God who gives us all we need. So join me as we say these words. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death, and was buried. On the third day, He rose right hand of the Father, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaicbeasley.org.